sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW.
Welcome to the party! Oh my God, thanks for coming, Sammy!
NXT.
It's over! The cross is here to ransack NXT souls!
And indie wrestling. It's Wednesday night, Don Omite.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait. And now, your host, Don Tony.
You know, CM Punk's shirt might be the hottest shirt selling on Pro Wrestling Tees right now. But believe it or not, this has been one of the most popular shirts everybody keeps asking me about. Pork rub. Yeah. It's not porn. So many people thought I was wearing an adult shirt last week. I brought it back. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Wednesday Night Dynamite. I am Don Tony, and it is August 25th, 2021. I want to shout out everybody who is tuning in. All the other outlets outside of YouTube. Now, I know some of you are here maybe primarily for the contest. For those that are not aware, we're going to do a contest tonight. We're going to do it a little different. It'll be fun. And what is the prize? Since everybody is amazed at what we talked about last Friday, when we did the live watch along of Rampage, and CM Punk announced free ice cream bars for everyone, we were laughing on the show. Said, "Oh my God, could you just imagine the people who are going to be going through the garbage pails, stealing wrappers, and throwing it up on eBay?" And, you know, yesterday I did a Patreon show with Mish, and I made a remark that a lot of people, you know, really not only agreed on, but like, yeah, you know, when you think about it, you know, CM Punk, this is not his fault. It's obviously not his fault. But CM Punk, one of his pet peeves over the years is he hated to sign autographs at times because he knew some of the people he was signing autographs for were going to immediately put it right on eBay. And obviously CM Punk probably had no idea what was going to go down on eBay, trying to sell $1,000 for an ice cream bar, $100, $200 for a wrapper that's torn in half. What I am surprised about is all of the interviews, the media scrum, all of the journal, everything like that. You mean to tell me that not one person said, "Hey, Punk, you know, what do you think about all these people that are going to probably take those wrappers and throw them up on eBay?" I would have loved to hear his response, especially back in the day. He didn't like to sign autographs because they pop up on eBay. And for anybody that's going to say, "Well, maybe they didn't think about it," we were talking about it during Rampage, literally 30 seconds after he announced the free ice cream bars. But I have friends that attended, and one of them stepped up and is sending me not one, not two, but three CM Punk ice cream wrappers. He went with six people. I don't want you to think he garbage picked. And he is sending three to me. So I decided tonight, why don't we give away one of the ice cream wrappers in great condition, by the way, and a CM Punk shirt. Now, a few people asked me this early on. You could choose any CM Punk shirt that is up for sale on AEW. As long as there's no collectibles like autographed, limited one-to-one, that's like $1,000. A regular shirt. Choose any one you want, any size you want. The wrapper, if you want me to laminate it before I ship it to the winner, I'll be more than happy to do so. Now, how is the contest going to go down tonight? Very simple. Later on, I'll go boop. Oh, shit. We can. I'm not part of this contest, so we need to. How low can you go? That's okay. All right, let's cut the top off. I know that doesn't sound appropriate, but let's. That's okay. All right, that's good. I know for the people audio only, they're like, motherfucker, here he goes again playing. That's all right. I'm allowed to play. This is my show. All right. This gets a little confusing. There we go. There we go. Because I have the little pin thing. Sorry, I cut his top, but that's good. So later on, I will put the chat box on the screen so everybody could post it. Please do not post your entry now. It will not be accepted. Later on, and I promise you this, for everybody that's tuning in, I know there's a lot of you on Twitter right now, Facebook, Twitch. You have to be in the YouTube chat to be part of this contest. So you got plenty of time to get on over to the YouTube chat. But, and I promise this, we're not going to spend 90 minutes doing the show and then do the contest. I am ending the show early today. Because tomorrow we're going to have such a banger of a show with calls, talking about so many different topics that tonight I'm only talking about Dynamite. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't like the show all that much. It was okay. But I had a couple of problems with tonight's Dynamite. And I'll tell you why. And believe me, if any of you out there that say to me right now, DT, what are you nuts? What are you stupid? Please, just give me 2 minutes to explain why. And I promise you, you'll say, all right, well, maybe I disagree with you, but I totally understand what you're saying. I'll tell you why in a minute. So tonight, I'm just going to review Dynamite. Couple of quick things about NXT yesterday, and we will definitely put the nail in the coffin about what we've been saying for the last couple of months about the Nick Khan effect. The Nick Khan effect. Everybody was clickbaiting everybody about all that stuff. Oh, and yeah, we'll talk about Adam Cole too. We'll talk about Karrion Kross. See, a lot of people saw this thumbnail and thought that, oh, this is the end of NXT. Yeah, that was more of a wise-ass answer because anybody that follows this show knows I've been telling you all along NXT will be perfectly fine. Did I enjoy CM Punk's promo? Shout out to King of Games with the super chat. Yeah. You know what? Let me just tell everybody what the contest is, and I'll get into that first before I say anything else. Later on, within the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to do a ratings predictions contest. And what I will do later is I will put the chat box back on the screen, and everybody will have about a minute or two to post your prediction of what you think tonight's AEW rating will be. If you delete your chat comment, I don't care if you even wrote burp. If you delete a chat comment during the time frame we're doing this contest, Corey Melito, welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome. You'll probably see quite a few of them because you have to obviously be a subscriber to be in the chat. So it's all good. But for about 2 minutes, the chat will be open, and all you got to do is post your prediction of what you think the rating's going to be. If you post more than one prediction, you're not in a contest. If you delete your entry, you're not in a contest. Tomorrow, around 4 p.m. Eastern, we should know what AEW's rating is. I will go back to the chat log, and I will see who came closest. Remember, you don't have to be the first person to get it right. You have to just be the closest. Now, DT, what happens if there's more than one person that predicts it correct, you know, gets close? Let's say two people predict. Well, then we'll do a second contest, and those people who tied will predict Friday's Rampage rating. I guarantee you we will not have ties after Friday also, and I will tell you right now, if we end up with ties tonight, and ties Friday, I don't care if I have to overpay for it. Everybody that tied will get a shirt and an ice cream wrapper. So we'll do that in a little bit. We'll let everybody get situated. Now, let's talk about CM Punk. And that little remark, Josh, welcome aboard, my friend. I hope you win. CM Punk tonight came out with Tony Schiavone. You know, The bags under the eyes are starting to puff up again. That means that CM Punk is getting in rare form. Look, I love how he's interactive with the crowd. I love his remark. I'm going to retire the voice of the voiceless. I don't need it anymore. The people in the back listen. They listen. See, let's be honest. I don't know how CM Punk likes about, you know, the broken glass, the light tube stuff. I don't know how he feels about that. I don't know how he feels about some of the aspects. But one thing that he always bitched about with WWE is that corporate, because it's corporate, would not listen to the fans of what they truly wanted. I mean, yes, even you have to admit, sometimes WWE gave in. I mean, the Yes Movement, it was definitely an example of where WWE just changed direction and gave in to the Yes Movement, but that's very few and far between. And speaking of Daniel Bryan, you know, CM Punk tonight, being interviewed with Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone asks him, Brian Clark. No, can't be. Can't be. If it is, much love, my brother. Got to get you to New York. Downstate, not upstate. I love you, brother, but I'm not driving 6 hours. I mean, I don't drive 6 hours for anything right now. Actually, tomorrow I have to take a drive. Some people know why. So anyway, you know, CM Punk retiring the voice of the voiceless, doesn't need it anymore. Why did he return? Because I want people to listen closely to what he said. He didn't return because of Darby Allin. He didn't return because of the Young Stars of Tomorrow. He returned because he wants to know if he still has it. But he wants to go up against wrestlers like Darby Allin, someone that would have been his favorite when he was 15 years old. Anybody out there that never saw vintage pictures of CM Punk when he was a lot younger, yeah, that's a very accurate statement. Darby Allin, a 15-year-old CM Punk would have loved Darby Allin. What's cool is a 40-something-year-old CM Punk loves Darby Allin too. So he wants to start with Darby Allin. And the crowd was into it. I mean, look, there were points tonight where that Milwaukee crowd was dead. And honestly, it's very easy to blame a crowd for being dead. But man, I'm going to say a couple of things tonight that truly, truly, some people out there wouldn't have the nerve to say because they're trying to be in the ultimate good graces with AEW. Everything is epic, amazing, unbelievable. I cried if I died tomorrow. You know, I'd die happy and this and that. You know, it gets a little over the top. But see, what a lot of people don't understand is that if you speak your mind and you're genuine about it and you truly care about what you're saying, you know, people respect that. Edwin G., AEW had the greatest main event and running in wrestling history. Dude, man, I'm going to vent on that. Seriously, just give me 1 minute to get to Brock Anderson. Man, I don't want to jump ahead. But anyway, let's get to the Daniel Bryan point. Then I'll go right back to that. So CM Punk is talking about best in the world, and he's talking about, you know, if he still could do it. And as he's, you know, throwing name drops and catchphrases, it was funny because when he was talking about the Stars of Tomorrow outside of Darby Allin, I think he basically just read the tag team match in his head. He's like, oh, we have Penta El Zero. We have Rey Fénix. We have Griff Garrison. We got Brian Bell. I'm like, he just read the tag team match that happened right before. But that's what you do. So I'm not complaining. But as he's name dropping and saying some phrases, crowd starts doing this. Yes, 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 in droves. So CM Punk says, that's someone else's shtick. You might have to be patient a little bit. Might need to be patient for a little while. That's it. That's it. Daniel Bryan trending. I even changed the title for tonight's show over here because it is a big deal. We all knew Daniel Bryan was pretty much a lock for AEW. But CM Punk basically doing the Tony Khan, you know, not going to tease something and let them down. CM Punk basically threw it out there today. Be a little more patient. Now, a lot of us have already talked about it. We think Daniel Bryan will debut in Queens, New York at Arthur Ashe. You know, everybody out there has been looking at the Ruby Soho, the former Ruby Riott vignettes. And it's funny because almost nobody's put the two and two together yet. She's doing vignettes where I think she was on a train. She just posted a video yesterday where somebody pulled up at like a 7-Eleven and she jumps in the car and drives away. And I tell you, if this is her creative mind doing these segments, I'm suddenly a big-time Ruby fan because she steals a car and she's laughing and she's driving down the street and she starts changing the radio station. And if you didn't listen to it, just watched it on the video, you wouldn't have heard it. She's changing the station and her theme song is on there, the Riot Squad. Now, she's smart. She only plays it for 2-3 seconds, so WWE doesn't try to shoot it down. And she's like stops the car and she's just like pissed off. But the whole teasing leading up to this, New York, East Coast. So people are like, oh, she's going to debut for Ring of Honor. She could very well. She's going to debut for MLW. Well, here's a little idea that nobody really's talked about. Maybe the New York has to do with AEW's debut at Arthur Ashe Stadium. Her trek to New York might have to take a couple of more weeks, and then maybe she ends up in Queens, New York. So we'll see. But if you haven't seen her vignettes yet, go check them out. They're pretty good. So CM Punk does that today. Now, you know, here's where you see the difference between people who are responsible talking about this and people who are desperate for hits. Because CM Punk teased it. And that's the way everybody should be bringing it out there. You got people already out there. CM Punk announces Daniel Bryan for AEW. CM Punk confirms that there's a big difference between confirm and tease. Yeah, it's semantics at this point. But just like the Jericho stuff today. Jericho was very, very careful with his words. Jim Ross screwed up at the end of the show tonight. Jericho is going to have another match against MJF at All Out. And Jericho cannot sleep with the fact that he has lost to MJF 3 times. So he wants one more match. And if he loses to MJF, he will never wrestle in AEW again. That he'll go to the commentator's table and commentate Rampage. And he said maybe one day he'll be able to do Dynamite commentating. But if he loses, he will not wrestle in AEW again. Right away, you have some people very responsible reporting it like that. Chris Jericho teases last match in an AEW ring, you know, if he loses to MJF. Other people, Chris Jericho will retire from in-ring competition. And that's just incorrect. Jim Ross at the end of the show did say that. Chris Jericho will retire from wrestling. You know, Jericho has already teased a retirement match. I personally hope that this is not Jericho's last match in AEW because Jericho can still go. Obviously, he's not Jericho of 10 years ago. He's not Jericho of 15 years, 20 years ago. Hell, he's not Jericho from the 80s. Some people will get that. I'll tell everybody. When I used to take calls a long time ago, one of the reasons why I stopped calls is because I didn't want people calling in, you know, like have something you want to talk about, you know, that everybody tuning in would be interested in hearing also. And we would get a lot of people that would call in just to call in. Hey, what's going on? What do you, no, nothing. Yeah, so what do you want to talk about? I saw Raw tonight. Okay. It was a good show. Okay. And that's how it would go. Then you would get people that tried to be scholars when they're not. And this guy one time called in and was, and people in the chat room know what I'm talking about already. This guy called in and was talking about how he used to watch Jericho wrestle in the mid-80s in Canada. And I was like, you mean 90s? No, 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 before he went to WWF in the mid-80s. And I was like, okay. Yeah, Benjamin remembers a lot of it. My God, how many years ago is that? 15 years ago? So CM Punk teases Daniel Bryan. He also name drops AJ Lee today. I want to say hello to my beautiful wife at home, April. I love you. Very, very cool. Right away, you had some people a little reckless tonight. You know, AJ may debut in AEW. Well, there's been a lot of rumors that WWE's trying to get her back. So, you know, you name drop your wife, you know, and she's not wrestling for any company right now. Does not mean that she's coming to AEW. Miro name dropped Lana numerous times. I personally think she'll make an appearance here and there. Why not? Why not? Not every day. Talk to my agent. No. If Tony Khan just wants to give her, you know, a nice payday just to show up at ringside or maybe do one thing with a husband, you know, slap somebody or something, why wouldn't you do it? So, anyway. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Dynamite tonight. I'll let the chat room decide. Should we talk about the decision-making of having Malakai Black versus Brock Anderson to close out Dynamite? Should we talk about some of the match decision-making today? Should we talk about Dan Lambert first? Should we talk about the continued the continuation of Kenny Omega, the sports entertainer? A few people are saying, Dream, you're not blocked. Everybody can see you. Dan Lambert. Okay. See what AEW is doing? You remember, and I'm not complaining about Dan Lambert at all. I'm not complaining at all. You remember a conversation we had about 3 weeks ago? You know, about, you know, how AEW, everybody perceived it as this, you know, woke, that we don't tolerate any misbehavior. We don't tolerate this. We don't tolerate that. You know, we want everybody to have health care. We want to do this with that. But when you do this and you say some outrageous things on TV, oh, no, we're just acting. It's just a show. People get their balls in a bunch because of a comment, you know. No, but see, like, if MJF makes fun of fat people or people are disabled, oh no, it's just a character. It's just a character. You know, Max Caster, everybody in that, I'm not going to repeat the whole thing again. Max Caster, everybody in that company turned a blind eye to the promo until social media Trent made a trend. Everybody in the back heard his promo. It was blasting on the speakers. All right. Anybody knows the acoustics and the setup in that building, tons of people heard it. And for 7 days, whatever it was, nobody said, Tony Khan gets away with it again. The infamous tweet a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, Jacksonville Tony. Remember that? We're going to tease in this huge announcement on social media. Blockbuster, huge, 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 huge. And we're supposed to think that somebody in AEW went rogue for a whole week of teasing an announcement. And for the whole week, Tony Khan is looking at Twitter, looking at his own AEW Twitter account, and doesn't call someone and says, get blah, 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 blah on the phone. What's this announcement? You're teasing for a week. No, they announce that they're going to Jacksonville. And the fans go mild. They get pissed. So Tony goes on Twitter, hey, look, guys, you know, to the social media account, you got to be better than that. We can't give announcements. Like, now we got to give the fans something big. This guy Come on. And everybody gave him a pass. So now, I didn't hear him. I was in the back. Yeah. What? So they could say some of the most outrageous things as long as it's during showtime because it's just an act. It's just acting. Dan Lambert today said some pretty wild things in a promo with Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page that a lot of people would get triggered. Now, let me make this clear. I loved what Dan Lambert said. Thought it was great. Thought it was great. But we said a couple of weeks ago that AEW is cute with that. Like, they're so against all these things, but they do it while the cameras are recording because they can hide behind it's just an act. So now Dan Lambert gets to do what I've been telling you he's been doing for a couple of weeks now. He's doing this. He's doing this to a capital T. I told you a couple of weeks ago that Dan Lambert is doing the Jim Cornette that he could, that Jim Cornette could not get away with doing in NWA. Trevor Murdoch could go through Ethiopia. He's so tough, he could drive through Ethiopia with a bucket of chicken. Yeah, Jim, outdated and stupid. But should he have been fired? No. Do you remember what I said at that time? Funny how Dave Lagana, and I like the guy, but Dave Lagana never stepped up and said, look, guys, you know, this is on me too. I let it go. I didn't think anything was racist. He didn't have the balls to say that. You know, everybody became suddenly outraged. I played 6 different times that Jim Cornette made that remark over 30 years. 6 different times on TV. And nobody got their you-know-whats in a bunch before. Dan Lambert, as I've been telling you for weeks now, is playing what Jim Cornette got caught. Is not allowed. But since it's a character, it's okay. But if any of you out there go back to 1997, go back to 1997 during Monday Night Raw. If you never had a chance to see it, you will love them. Obviously, Jim Cornette is not going to use expletives, but Jim Cornette calling out WCW, calling out the old guys who are still trying to get... Jim Cornette was fabulous. Fabulous in those segments. And the gift of gab is you could just talk fast, 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 fast. You don't stutter. You don't slip up. You don't, You just roll, 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 roll. Dan Lambert has that. Not too many people have that. Dan Lambert is doing what Jim Cornette did in 1997. I don't use the word ripoff because in all of entertainment, things get recycled. So for all you younger fans out there, if you never knew about the Jim Cornette stuff from 97, go seek it out. I promise you, you will be entertained. You will be entertained. Now, any other promotion, WWE, maybe you want to use WWE for example. If Monday Night Raw or SmackDown went off the air with Aleister Black or Malakai Black versus Brock Anderson, who has had a couple of matches in his career, who we just talked about it a couple of weeks ago, got hit in the nuts. Remember the picture I shot? I'm so tempted to pull it out right now, but I don't want to bore anyone with the waiting. When the factory held him back and... No, that was Tony Schiavone's son. Tony Schiavone... Why are these sons being featured in these prominent roles? I understand Tony Schiavone is a huge asset to AEW, as is Arn Anderson. They put Tony Schiavone in a segment with the factory. They hit him in the nuts. And QT, who dat, is begging Tony Schiavone to apologize. And you go back. I'm, oh man, I want to pull that picture up. I'll do it tomorrow. his freaking son, who just got hit in the nuts, has his hands on his knees like he's ready to play patty cake. He's just standing there. Remember what the fuck's his name? I didn't want to curse tonight. One of the members of the factory, who was it, that was holding him by the arm? And you think he would just sell it, be like, No, he's just standing with both his hands on his knees. Horrendous garbage. So now you have Brock Anderson, who had a this is one of my problems with AEW. And it's small. And shame on the journalists out there that do not call out AEW tonight for giving you Malakai Black versus Brock Anderson and Lee Johnson chasing him out of the ring to close out Dynamite. And why do I say that tonight? Aaron Solo, yes, he was the one. He's holding him back. Oh, my God. If you tune in tomorrow, if you didn't see that picture, it's priceless. Here's my problem with it. You just had CM Punk debut on Rampage. 1,129,000 viewers overall. I know there's a lot of confusion online about the ratings. And like I said very politely yesterday to some of you out there, please stop DMing me, asking me to clear up other people's mistakes because you don't want to offend those people publicly by tweeting me publicly to ask me. You want to rely on people who claim they have sources and all they do is read other people's tweets and the tweets are wrong and I'm supposed to clear up that stuff? No. AEW Rampage scored 1,129,000 viewers. CM Punk's spot was, what, 1.3, 1.4 million viewers? It did not do 750. That was the week before. Somebody looked at the 18 to 34, 18 to 49 demographic, saw 750. T's and P's to Pat, the most over guy in SmackDown. Yeah, well, I'll mention that in a second, my friend. Well, I can mention it now. For those that don't know, Pat McAfee, who is fully vaccinated, apparently has COVID. He showed a thermometer, a picture of a thermometer, and it said a temperature of 104.5. That is wild to hear somebody who was fully vaccinated to get COVID in his pristine health. You know, if he was 77 years old, 500 pounds, or maybe a blood pressure of 180 over 160, you know, or maybe had, I'm not going to say, I don't want to get in trouble, you know, I think having 104.5 fever would be like, I'm surprised nobody in the medical field is talking about this. Because when you're vaccinated, you get COVID. Yeah, you get symptoms and you could get sick, but it causes you 99% guaranteed that you don't get sick to go to the hospital. If I got 104.5 fever and COVID never existed, I would be in the hospital in a second with more ice on me than an igloo. So I'm just blown away that that's not a bigger news story. But thank God that he's feeling better. I don't wish that on nobody. I don't even wish that on my haters. So get well, Pat McAfee. Get well. So, getting back to Dynamite. They did 1,129,000 viewers on Friday. And I'm not going to get into the whole thing again. But as I said before, you know, some people consider that a disappointment. Some people said it should have been 1.8 million. See, what a lot of people, you know, don't understand is a boatload of AEW fans were already CM Punk fans. And you don't have this big group of fans that are just not watching wrestling right now at all, but would tune in because CM Punk is on. And I, as I said before, NWA, MLW, Ring of Honor, New Japan, AEW, NXT, Raw, SmackDown, returning to live crowds, GCW, all these feds. You think people in droves out there are like, no. CM Punk, no. Dude, you have 15 federations kicking ass right now. No. CM Punk. CM Punk drawing 400,000 plus viewers on Friday is huge. It's huge. Because that means he caused a, what, 40% spike in the ratings? That doesn't happen really to anybody. Tonight's show, and this is why I'm so pissed off about Malakai Black versus Brock Anderson. This is why I'm so pissed off tonight. I'm a fan. I'll tune in every week. The show was not bad, but here's the thing. You had Tony Khan last week make this speech that we hope that we could get some fans who maybe fell out of love of wrestling to give us a shot. Maybe some fans that didn't like our style that maybe would tune in now. You know, get introduce AEW to new fans, bring in this and that. So you knock it out of the park with Rampage. Knocked it out of the park. So now you tease for 4 days CM Punk's first appearance on Dynamite. So now you got people who are going to tune in tonight. Now you got the main roster. Rampage is not meant to be Dynamite light. Now you got Dynamite. Everybody should be, first night after CM Punk's debut, everybody should be wearing a tux, not literally. But tonight is where, all right, everybody, it's a big night. This is our first Dynamite after CM Punk. We got to keep riding this high. And then we got Daniel Bryan coming in. And who knows else, you know, comes in too. And then we also got to build our own. Can't forget about your stars that everybody invests in. Hangman Page will be back soon and this and that. So you go into this with all of these extra eyes. And what they thought tonight was going to work is to keep commingling former WWE guys with AEW guys. Matt Hardy, Orange Cassidy. You have Kenny Omega, Christian. Now, yes, a lot of these feuds were already going on. But you have Moxley, you know, teaming up. You know, yes, he's with Kingston and now, but Moxley? Right? I like Ryan Nemeth. I don't even want to criticize. But everything had an AEW, former WWE star with AEW. So that's what they do. The Gun Club, the Factory. So they tried to put it back and forth. So with all this hype, you put Malakai Black against Brock Anderson. You don't tease Cody trying to get at Malakai Black. When I saw them actually bring them out there, you know what my first thought was? Sadly, there's no John Cena dark match going on after AEW goes off the air. I'm hoping to God that Tony Khan gave them a special attraction, a match or two after Dynamite went off the air. Because this is my problem with it. When Brock Anderson took on Cody, what, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago? Do you remember who was the AEW Dynamite or AEW Star of the Week? Whatever they use. Brock Anderson. I mean, you want to do that as a tribute to Arn Anderson? He's retiring, he's sick, he's this, he's celebrating anniversary, and you want to do that, you know, because of his son and this, that. But, you know, and everybody's like, oh, that's so freaking cool. Brock Anderson, yeah, his match with Cody, he's the star of the week. And now you close out Dynamite's main event with Malakai Black versus Brock Anderson. He gets his ass kicked in 5 seconds. And you know everybody in that freaking building was expecting Cody to come out and go after him. No. Here's Lee Johnson. Lee Johnson. And I'm like, this is what you go off the air with? This is, we hope to get. They've already screwed up their women's division more than you can realize. Let's segue to the women's match today. Red Velvet versus Jamie Hayter. I like Red Velvet. You've heard me praise her before. But do you remember when they had Britt Baker in Pittsburgh? Do you remember what I said on Dynamite and on Rampage? Do not bring Rebel out to the ring with her, because Rebel's not just a heel. She's an awful heel. Very nice person behind the scenes. I'm not saying she's a bad person. But on camera, you know, if I had no arms, I could swing a crutch better than her. She's awful. Britt Baker is one of the most over wrestlers in that company. And what did they do? They tried to make her a Steve Austin. The baddest bitch on the block. Sorry. Here's the problem why you can't do that with Britt Baker. When Steve Austin in 1997 started to get the Stone Cold attitude, and he would go to the ring, the middle finger, go up against authority, he was still a full-blown heel, but he started to get more and more cheers, started to get more and more cheers. Here's the thing. On the opposite side of that ring, you had Mankind. On the opposite side of the ring, you had Savio Vega. On the opposite side of the ring, you had Ken Shamrock. On the opposite side of the ring, you had Young Rock. You had, that's a TV show. On the opposite side of the ring, you had Hunter Hearst Helmsley. You had all of these other people to compliment it. So what do? They try to do this Stone Cold thing where she could do whatever she wants. And then they bring her to Pittsburgh and they have her go up against Red Velvet. Please, I will never do a show again if anybody seriously believes that I'm exaggerating right now. Red Velvet had the match with Cody against Shaq and Jade Cargill. And Red Velvet sold a lot of fans on how good she is invested. Fans behind her. You go and look at matches up until maybe like a month ago. Fans are really behind her. Yeah, she is too energetic sometimes. You know, before I get to some particulars with the match. So what do? You put Red Velvet against Britt Baker in Pittsburgh, where it's a guarantee Red Velvet will be booed out of the goddamn building because Britt Baker's hometown is Pittsburgh. So Red Velvet, after all of this build and investment for months and months and months, is being this firecracker, babyface, you know, this is an ad and a little attitude. Not only do they put her as a heel in Pittsburgh, they have Mark Henry with a split screen with Britt Baker on one side and Red Velvet on the other, and Red Velvet's trying to just be Red Velvet, and the crowd is ripping her apart because they're treating her like a heel. So now Britt Baker goes back last week and she brings out Jamie Hayter, who is a heel. Even the name, Hayter, it's a heel. And now Britt Baker is being a heel again with a heel in her corner. And then Red Velvet comes out and fights Jamie Hayter tonight. Red Velvet got zero reaction. Zero, nada, zilch, nada. I should have looked it up in 35 languages today. She got no reaction. And to make matters worse, her problem is, it's like putting a dog in a crate. You got to take a dog to the vet. And, you got to leave the dog and pick him up at 6 o'clock. And you leave the dog, and the dog's in this little crate all day long. He's got water. I'm not abusing. And then you pick up the dog from the vet 8 hours later. He's still in the crate. And you bring him in the car and you take him home. And all you keep hearing in the crate is, like all the nails calling, like, get me out of this crate. And then you bring the dog home and you pop the crate open. That dog starts running around nonstop. That's what Red Velvet was doing tonight. Spitfire. Yeah, do that. You know, when you have a little bit more, you know, years under your belt. So what does she do? She does the moonsault off the middle rope. Jamie hated the professionals. Like, I'm not selling that shit. It was horrible. And you look at even Chris Statlander. Chris Statlander, the fans don't know. She got no reaction either. This is Chris Statlander, best friends Chris Statlander, Orange Cassidy. The fans don't care about Red Velvet suddenly and Chris Statlander because they're fucking confused. The fans right now, AEW, all the people out there that want to go on your high horse and gush, amazing, epic, unbelievable, Tony Khan is Jesus Christ, blah, 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 whatever you want to call him, you know, they don't have the nerve to say this. The fans are confused. They don't know what the hell, how to react to a lot of these women. And you're screwing up that women's division. And sure, easy fix. But we'll put Thunder Rosa back on TV. Oh, we'll have Ruby debut soon. And all is good. You know, it's just Band-Aids. You know? Meanwhile, look at some people who don't get on TV anymore. The only way to get on TV is if they're part of a faction. So they really, really have screwed up a lot of stuff. They really have. Some of the good, look, accidents happen also. I'm not going to criticize Orange Cassidy. He had the match with Matt Hardy. By the way, we'll do the contest in a couple of minutes, so get ready. Anybody that's on the other outlets, shoot on over to YouTube if you want to go in the chat and be part of the contest, because the contest is only going to be open for about 2 or 3 minutes. All you have to do when we open it is type in what you think the rating's going to be. Don't do it yet. So Matt Hardy opens up Dynamite with Orange Cassidy. Again, that was the formula tonight. Former WWE guys against or with AEW guys. That's what the formula was tonight. So somebody at ringside brought about 30 pairs of $2 glasses and passed them around to everybody at ringside to wear it, which was cool. Which was cool. That's why I took this picture. Reminded me of Cesaro section. You know, when you would see droves of fans all have the same sign. Yeah, it's because somebody printed up 500 of them and brought them to the building. But that was cool. What wasn't cool is this. Matt Hardy is going to be out of action for quite some time. Do not be surprised if you see photos on social media either tonight or tomorrow. Remember that infamous photo of John Cena? I think it was against Seth Rollins when his nose, they had the black and white photos. His nose, I don't know if it's going to be on that level of Matt Hardy, but his nose got broken and got broken bad. Orange Cassidy did a dive off the top rope. And I'll tell you, Orange Cassidy is very lucky he didn't do something today. I don't know if anybody picked up on it. Before I say what happened, let's go to the finish. Then you'll understand why I'm saying it this way. Later on in the match, Orange Cassidy is doing some of Matt Hardy's moves, Twist of Fate and a few other things. But at the end, Orange Cassidy climbs the top rope and dives onto Matt Hardy's on the mat. What Orange Cassidy does is he puts his hands in his pockets and then dives off, which, believe me when I tell you, that is impressive. It is also very scary because, you know, you need your arms, you know, for momentum and for gravity, but still impressive nonetheless. So Orange Cassidy dives off. Oh, shit, you serious, Chaos? Rest in peace. Big Jim Anderson, for those on the Northeast, indie guy, can't be more than 40 years old. Jim Anderson, And JYM, by the way, because, you know, it was like a playoff of gym, I believe, and going to the gym. Very, very, you know, good-looking guy. You know, wrestled here in the Northeast, Indies. But, wow, I did not know that. So, Chaos, thank you for mentioning that. I got to go check that out after. So, rest in peace, Jim Anderson. Absolutely. So, with Matt Hardy, and I'm sorry that I'm not trying to be rude, Chaos, to go from that to that. I just don't want to be, you know, on a bum note. I'll look online after. So, Orange Cassidy dives off the top rope with his hands in his pockets and lands on Matt Hardy and pins him. Orange Cassidy has to be thanking his lucky stars, say it nicely, that he did not have his hands in his pockets when he dove onto Matt Hardy breaking his nose. Because when he dove off the top rope, he overshot Matt Hardy. Huh. That does happen with a lot of young wrestlers. Not just AEW. I don't want anybody to think I'm here, but you overshoot. You know, that's something you learn in time, but that's a couple of inches different. I mean, we've seen wrestlers. Who was it? It wasn't Kidman. Somebody did like a 450 splash many years ago and landed right on the guy's face, crushed his face. I mean, there's areas in the ring. Now, I trained, and I wasn't good, and, you know, I didn't train to be high flies, but there are areas in the ring where you look for to plant and to take moves. And another wrestler, when they do a high spot off the top rope especially, they know where they're supposed to land. That's why when you see all this activity going on in the ring and somebody could have someone behind their back and then they turn around and all of a sudden they look up and they're being dived on, it's because they know exactly where they've placed their feet to get it. Well, Orange Cassidy overshot Matt Hardy and landed right on his face. And if that guy would have had his hands in his pockets and landed that way, something tells me Orange Cassidy would probably not have his hands in his pockets doing high-flying moves off the top rope anymore. Thank you, Gordon. Yeah, I had a feeling it was Kidman. Kidman did the shooting star press on Chavo. It's weird how you remember little things like that. But so Matt Hardy, you know, busted open really big today and did not look good. Did not look good. I know a lot of people were a little bit surprised that they opened up with that match. I was fine with it. I thought they had a great match. And give Matt Hardy credit, man. That guy did not. He could have packed it in. They could have gone to a quick finish. That guy still battled for another 3 or 4 minutes. But, you know, he's obviously on his way to the hospital if he's not there already. So we wish Matt Hardy the best. You know, I like Matt Hardy very much. Now, we already talked about Jericho facing MJF at All Out. You know, personally, I know, look, I've said it before with the Cody storyline. Cody will wrestle for the heavyweight title again. I truly believe that. Unless this guy leaves AEW or truly steps away for other things. But when Cody... And anybody that starts a brand new promotion, any of you out there, even if you want to do an indie promotion, you have one of your biggest stars in the prime of their life. And within a matter of months of starting your promotion, and you want to make tens or hundreds of millions of dollars, you're going to strap yourself and you're going to say, okay, we're going to do a storyline that you'll never fight for the title. Did that like spike the buy rates where they had money for 5 years worth? No. A lot of people to this day are like, why did they do that? Cody, and I don't have one here, but Cody is, break this glass in case of an emergency. Remember when I said you have like an axe or fire extinguisher or whatever, like an emergency thing, and says, you know, in emergency, break glass. When they need to have a huge storyline and the time is right, they will break the glass. And they will tease the fans if Cody should come out of retirement. And then what'll happen is, to prevent fans in droves saying, you went back on your word. No. They'll play a storyline off where the fans in droves, online, in the buildings, you know, that they want Cody to wrestle for the title. And Cody will come out there, no, I keep my word. It's like Daniel Bryan going, no. The more he went, no. The fans went, yes. So that's what'll happen. They'll say, no, you know, stipulation, you know, my word is my bond. And the fans will keep pushing and pushing it. And then finally, something will happen. And then Cody gets the title shot again. And everybody, well, majority of people in droves will be like, see, they listened to us. We're the reason why they changed the stipulation. Business. Good business, by the way. Good business. So, Jericho doing this, I mean, unless his body is really starting to break down and he really needs extended time off, there is a good possibility that he may lose this match against MJF at All Out. I personally think he will win. I personally think, you know, maybe Sammy, somebody gets involved. I just hope they don't do anything where Jericho tells the Inner Circle, look, guys, I have to do this myself. I can't sleep at night. And if I beat him with someone else's help, I still won't be able to sleep at night. Please do not give me that. Don't give me that. Anyway, want to do the contest? Just get it out of the way. Or, you know, all right, 5 minutes. Get ready. I'm going to just finish up talking Dynamite because we've already talked almost an hour about it. So he issues the challenge to MJF at All Out. One more match. If I lose, I no longer wrestle in AEW. So I like MJF's analogies because it's right up in my book. You know, like cows, you know, with the nipples, breast milk. He's like, oh, the others are all, you know, I'm sore right now, you know, giving all my milk. And he's like, you know, he made Jericho tap out faster than someone listening to a Fozzy CD. And MJF accepts the challenge because it's cool to beat Jericho, but it's legendary to retire Jericho in AEW. Some people don't like the feud. You know, look, Jericho at this age, you know, you take what you get. I like Jericho. I don't expect Jericho to be, you know, what Ricky Steamboat was at WrestleMania against Jericho, you know, when he came out of retirement. You know, Jericho is Jericho. He's at the tail end of his career. His in-ring work has changed because of that. And Jericho's a very smart person. I don't want to compare Jericho to Goldberg, but I am a big Goldberg fan. And I even said after SummerSlam, I put two pictures side by side, one of Goldberg from 1999 and one from Goldberg from a month ago. And other than the goatee being darker, the body looks exactly the same. But unfortunately, you may think you could do it up here, and you may think you could do it in here, but Goldberg proves, no matter how chiseled and beautiful that guy looks, the legs don't have the spring that it used to. That's why Bobby Lashley almost landed on his head. Jericho knows the spring. He might be able to, you know, do the flip off the middle rope, you know, the lion salt, but that's very few and far between. And even when he does it once in a while, people are like, oof, he knows. Jericho had the wherewithal to change and not do certain spots where it could possibly injure his opponent. Goldberg has nothing else. What is Goldberg going to do? Headlock? So I give Jericho credit. The Varsity Blondes lose rather quickly to the Lucha Bros. Fun match. I mean, we've seen the Lucha Bros countless times. I tell you, I wouldn't mind Jurassic Express taking on the Young Bucks at All Out. But, man, when you think about it, that match that the Young Bucks had with the Lucha Bros, was it a year ago, in a cage at All Out, that could be top five match of the year. So as much as I would like to see Jurassic Express beat the Lucha Bros this Friday, I don't think it's happening. I don't. I did get a laugh today. You know, Griff Garrison, I brought up before, he reminds me of Lenny Lane. You know, not just because of the hair and the physique and looking a little bit, but he even wrestles a lot like Lenny Lane. This is before Lenny and Lodi. And JR today, trying to compare Griff Garrison and people from yesterday, he brings up Cowboy Bob Orton. I don't know where he sees that, but he brought that up. But the Lucha Bros with, I call it, the double-double super kicks. They took turns super kicking Brian Pillman Jr., and then they did it in stereo, and Pillman got pinned. And then after the match is over, Jurassic Express, friendly handshake with the Lucha Bros. You have most members of the Elite on the rampway. The Young Bucks hit the ring and push Jurassic Express into the Lucha Bros and try to run out of the ring. Like something we would do when we were young. You know, like somebody would bend down and you'd like push someone and they fall over. But they caught it and they ended up knocking the Young Bucks on their ass. We already talked about Red Velvet versus Jamie Hayter. We're going to do the contest any second, everybody. Talked about CM Punk, Christian, and Kenny Omega. Now, that was cool. Christian, when he's been calling Don Callis a carny piece of shit, a lot of people don't know about Don Callis' days back with, you know, doing the promoting stuff in Canada and everything else. They showed some very, very, very early footage of Christian and Don Callis. Don Callis wearing pink today with a scarf, and he's getting mad at Christian. He takes the scarf off. He takes the jacket off. But, you know, Kenny Omega continuing. I personally don't. Look, I said in November of last year that I think Kenny Omega is going to be obsessed with being Wrestler of the Year for 2021. And he has had some awesome matches this year, but we're now into just about September, and I look at his reign. I don't care you have multiple belts, but I look at his reign the last couple of months, Kenny Omega, and I'm not necessarily complaining about this, but a lot of you have picked up on it as well. Kenny Omega has turned into a sports entertainer. That's what he's turned into, and I personally don't know how you look at his reign for the last couple of months. Okay, he fought Andrade once, you know, for AAA. All right, he fought in Impact four times. You know, how many times he wrestled? Friday, you're getting Kenny Omega and Brandon Cutler. Again, Brandon Cutler is like what they did with Brock Anderson. Tell me, try to justify me why Brock Anderson is in the main event on the first Dynamite after CM Punk debuts. A guy that's only wrestled a handful of matches that nobody gives a shit about. The fans ate it up. They loved Malakai Black killing him today. And then Malakai Black kicks Arn Anderson in the nuts and Lee Johnson makes the save. People who are writing that, and I'm sorry for saying it like this, but people who are writing putting Brock Lesnar as the wrestler of the, Brock Anderson, excuse me, as the wrestler of the week when he fought Cody. People putting Brock Anderson in the main event tonight and having Lee Johnson make the save. You know what that is? That's friends in the back that are writing a lot of this stuff that are in the ear of Tony Khan and friends trying to help friends. That's what it is. Because in any other company, I seriously doubt the first Dynamite after CM Punk's debut, where you're trying to get all these new eyes. Tell me, if anybody tuned in tonight that hasn't watched AEW in a very long time, it was very curious. After watching tonight, were you sold? Red Velvet with that beautiful moonsault, were you sold on the women's division? I mean, are you supposed to cheer or jeer Britt Baker? Oh, no, she's like, you know, she's the baddest bitch on the block. She does what she does. Of course we like Britt Baker. But fans are fucking confused. Chris Statlander, what are you supposed to do? Cheer her or boo her? They don't know what to do. Then you, seriously, did you think they won over fans tonight? I'm curious to see what this rating is. So now we do the contest. Did I leave any matches out? Oh, yeah. All right, let's just throw this one out there. I'm not trying to be a jerk. Moxley, Eddie Kingston, and Darby Allin beating the Wingmen. Ryan Nemeth, Cesar Bononi, and J.D. Drake with Peter Avalon. The anorexic Rick Rude. Why? Why would you do that? Again, the whole night was about having I remember back in 1997, they were going to do FMW versus ECW. And it never really panned out what it was supposed to be. But we were fantasizing Onita versus whoever, you know, Terry Funk. But Terry Funk representing ECW. Or Sandman. And we're like, I mean, do people tonight actually think in the back, oh, tonight gave a feel of AEW and WWE? Because it sure felt like that's what they did. Why would you give a match like that? And then after the match is over, Daniel Garcia runs out. I know they're trying to push Daniel Garcia. The problem is you got 150 other people in that company. Tell me what stands out about Daniel Garcia. Wheeler Yuta. He's fucking talented. But you tell me how Wheeler Yuta is going to break through all these other people. Tell me. You know, it's just nobody cares about. And the more you bring in, and I'm not complaining about it, but the more you bring in former WWE guys, wrestlers from Japan, indie guys, and you don't focus on build, you cannot just throw people out there, and because they're paired up with somebody that people give a shit about, suddenly they give a shit. That doesn't work. That gives me gas. I didn't fart, but gives me gas. Look at Moxley. A lot of people are complaining about it tonight. A lot of people wouldn't dare complain about it. I have no problem with it. But John Moxley, if you really dissect everything, does it feel like they're doing anything with the guy? It feels like they're just trying to get closer to the New York show. And I still think Moxley and Kingston or a New York surprise may actually win a title that night. Not going to get into that tonight. But hyping a ball out, people like, what's going on with Moxley? Brian Cage is taking on Powerhouse Hobbs next week. They've made Brian Cage look like a goddamn joke the last couple of months. And it's like, okay, now we got to put these people this week. Andrade. Idolo. I like Andrade. And I will repeat what no one else will keep telling you. He's going to have a match against Pac next Saturday or Sunday. Sunday. It All Out. And when you see him hit that ring, realize Andrade has been in AEW for 12 weeks, 3 months. And up to that match, he has had a total of one match against Matt Sydal for 4 minutes. Idolo! They signed him to a one-year deal. One quarter of it's already gone. How do you like that? How do you like how they're using Pac? How do you like how they're using a lot of these young stars? The only way people get on TV right now is soon you're going to have factions that are going to have 10 people in it. They're teasing a split with the Dark Order. They're still butthurt about Hangman Page getting beat up by 2 people or 3 people. That happens every week on Dynamite. It's just people are like, yeah, Evil Uno is going to be out as the leader. Put Bray Wyatt as the leader of the Dark Order. I mean, that's cool. I would like it. I think a lot of you would like that also. But people are only caring about Bray Wyatt coming in and being the leader of the Dark Order instead of caring about the people who are in the Dark Order. People are talking about the Women's Casino Battle Royale. Ty Conti, one of the most talented women on that roster. How many times she wrestled on Dynamite in the last 4 or 5 months? She's going to wrestle the Bunny on Friday. The Bunny. Remember, the Bunny took on legit Layla Hirsch to determine who was going to face Camille. I mean, look how that is. That's why I say, me as a wrestling fan, there's a lot of people, and I'm sorry for saying this, there's a lot of people on AEW's roster that have no business being on AEW's roster. They should be working the indies and some other promotions and being able to work in promotions where they go out every single week, not a two-minute dark match. And please, if you are on our Patreon, listen to Mish's 30-minute rant about his experience being at Rampage last Friday and about Dark. Dark, when the matches happen, they don't even get announced. And when a match is over, they're not even in the back yet. They're still around ringside, and they're just bringing other people out. That's not progressing someone. There's a lot of people that are in that company that should be elsewhere working every single week, and not a two-minute dark because 200,000 people see them on YouTube. That's not helping them. And what the result is Red Velvet tonight, you know, and others. Orange Cassidy is, you know, COVID obviously screwed it up, but Orange Cassidy used to work 10 times more matches than compared to the last year and a half. So they got some problems. Me as a wrestling fan, I still enjoy it, and their ratings I think are going to be pretty damn good. But you bring in Daniel Bryan, and you bring in a few other people who are out there that should be brought in. They could still go. They sell tickets. They're talented. They're liked. They're veterans. They could teach some of the stars of tomorrow. But in the process, you know what ends up happening? Wheeler Yuta, you're so talented. I don't know why I'm looking this way. You're so talented. And WWE missed the boat on you in May. But we have nothing for you, so we're going to just make you a best friend. You're just going to shake hands, you know. But Wheeler Yuta is eventually going to turn on Orange Cassidy. And then we're supposed to care that they're fighting each other. Watch. All right. So, let's do the rating. The ratings contest. So, for those that are on other platforms, here is your last opportunity. Why is my mouse giving me bullshit? Okay, here we go. All right, we're good. Oh, yeah, we're going to have some fun talking about this picture. Yeah. I have no problem with that picture, by the way. So anyway, let's put the chat room back on the screen. Do not do it yet, everybody. When I say now, and I'm not trying to be like a dictator, when I say now, then you post it. Don't do it yet. Once again, tonight's contest, I am giving away a CM Punk shirt from the AEW store. You choose whatever design you want. You choose whatever size you want, as long as it's a size for sale in AEW store. I don't know if they have 7X, but you choose whatever shirt you want, and you get that ice cream bar wrapper. I know, everyone, it's just an ice cream bar wrapper, but, you know, it's a nice little collectible to have. It's a good memory. And guess what? If CM Punk, you know, things really turn it around and people look at this back in history and, you know, they find this moment special, you got something that a very small group of people got at that time. Because even if they come out with the ice cream bars, you know, remember, a few people pointed this out to me before. It says, you know, it talks about Chicago, you know? So, yeah. So, and look, if you don't want it, put it on eBay. Make $50, $100, whatever you could get for it. So, all right. So, here's how we're doing this contest. In the next minute or two, when I say go, everyone out there will have the opportunity to post their what they believe will be the AEW rating for tonight. Now, little piece of advice to some of you out there that may have never played a game like this before, a contest like this. Don't be too general about it. See, like me, when a lot of people like DT, how do you always get so close with the ratings? Because I don't go 700,000, 750, 800. I usually try to do an oddball number like 740 or 888 or 1,036,000. You know, when WWE debuted on Fox, I think the rating was like 3,820,000, and I was off by 1,000 people. People were like, how did you choose that? Yeah, a lot of it was just stepping in shit. But I always choose an oddball number because, you know, you want to get as close as you can. Now, when we do the contest now, all you do is just type what you believe the rating is going to be. Whoever comes closest will win the wrapper and the shirt. If we end up with a tie, two people get it, three people get it, 10 people get it. If we get a tie, then what will happen is on Friday, and I'll do it right at the beginning of the show so you don't have to sit an hour to wait. Right at the beginning of Friday's show, whoever tied will be able in the chat room to post what they believe the Rampage rating will be. If they want to wait until the end of the watch along, because, you know, maybe they want to wait and see how the show is. Maybe it sucks. And they'll be like, oh, I think some people would turn. So anytime during that hour, they'll be able to post a rating. And then whoever wins that, but I don't think there's going to be a tie. I really don't think so. Because I think a lot of you out there, if you think it's going to be like 1,200,000, I think someone will put 1,288,000. You know, you're not going to find too many people that are going to write the same thing. So, again, just predict what you believe the rating will be. Whoever comes closest, you could predict too much, you could predict too little. Whoever comes closest to the actual number wins. Tomorrow, around 4 p.m. Eastern, we should know the rating. So as soon as the rating comes out, I will go right back to this segment, this moment on the show, and I will look at everybody's score, and whoever comes the closest wins. And that's pretty much it. Now, again, if you post more than once, no, I'm not taking your first choice because I'm not going to scroll through and try to figure out did somebody post more than once. I'd have to check everybody's entry. It'll take hours. If anybody deletes their entry, even if they typed a letter instead, it doesn't count. If you post more than once, it doesn't count either. Just one entry, what you think the rating is going to be, and that's it. If this goes well, then we'll do it again next week, or maybe we'll do it Friday night. We'll see. So anyway, it is 11:24 right now. I think 2 minutes is more than enough time. So don't feel like you got to be the first one. You could be the last one typing. If you come closest, you're either going to win or tie. So I don't want anybody to feel like, oh my God, I got to type fast. Take your time. Just type the number. If you think it's going to be 979,000, just write 979. It's fine. I know what you're trying to, what you're doing. If you think it's going to be 1,460,000, write 1.460 or 1460. We know. So anyway, we ready to go? Everyone, you got 2 minutes. Post what you think tonight's AEW rating is going to be. Yeah, all right. I'm looking at the numbers. All right. See, I like that. I like that. Okay, I like these. All right, people know are playing the game the right way, man. That's good. See, me, now, last week they did a little under 1 million. I think CM Punk's segment tonight is going to really hit good at 9 o'clock. I just have a feeling that, I don't know how hour two is going to end up, but I think a lot of people tuned in up to the end thinking that Cody was going to come out. And anybody out there that doesn't criticize that decision to put Brock Anderson to close out Dynamite, you know, they're being a little disingenuous, in my opinion. I respect their opinion, so. I know, Edwin G., it's $1.25 million. I know. If somebody gets the decimal off, no worries. I know what you're trying to do. I don't think anybody out there is going to predict 12 million viewers. So, by the way, much love, everybody who's hanging out tonight. I thank you, as always. We're going to wrap this up in about 10, 15 minutes' time. I'll talk briefly about last night's NXT, and I want to add a couple of final comments about Nick Khan and why I believe NXT should not bring back Adam Cole, even though there's a photo circulating that I will share with all of you out there involving Adam Cole that might interest a lot of you. See, Darren is just playing for fun. Darren's already been disqualified. Darren don't need an ice cream wrapper or a shirt, and I respect it. Darren just doesn't want to give me his address. He thinks I'll hunt him down. So, all right, are we almost done? No, Conor McGregor fans, I mean, seriously, 20 minutes tops, I'm out of here. It's an hour and 22 minutes right now. By an hour and 45, I'm done. Tomorrow we got a whole big show to do. So, all right, are we pretty much done? Can we, I'll do the 20-second countdown. This is your last chance. When I go to zero, that's it. No more entries. All right? Sorry, audio-only friends out there. 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13. I'm tempted to open it. 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, that's it. What are you doing, chicken? All right. Good luck, everybody. Good luck. All right. Check it out. 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 What do you think about this? Weird, huh? Adam Cole. Oh, no, his final day in WWE is Friday. Yeah, so they're going to just have him do this big Amazon reveal, debuting new toys for Adam Cole. And the next day, he's going to be gone. I freaking love it. I love it. I love it, man. I talked about this for 3 months with Nick Khan. I promise you, I will not bore you with repeating stuff tonight. I love that freaking name. It's going to pop up any second. That is awesome. Seriously, some people have just some awesome names, man. That make my day. It'll come up. It'll come up. This is worth a shout out. That's what Tickle My Pickle just became a member. Welcome to the family, Tickle My Pickle. That is awesome, man. That's going to be funny. Seriously, before I'm done tonight, I literally got to type it in for the channel members, the VIP, the family, for Tickle My Pickle. So anyway, look, I'll be straight up with everybody out there. I know what I talk about sometimes is not sexy. It's very unpopular. It's not what's in right now. I mean, I watched people yesterday when I started getting DMs like, DT, you're like, what was AEW's rating on Friday? Like, they did it like a horrible number. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, these people are saying it did 750. I'm like, no, that's the demo, 18 to 49. That's not the overall rating. And like, I'm reading people like, wow, this sucked. NXT TakeOver, horrible show. Like, and I know people do that just for hits and attention. I mean, sure, not everybody's going to like everything. I respect that. But here's the thing, you know, the last couple of days have been very moving for yours truly about a lot of you out there just giving a lot of compliments and paying attention to what I've been saying and what Mish has been saying too. And, you know, I'm not trying to pick fights with other shows. And I don't like always bringing up Twitter. Scorpio 1117, Hey, look, not everybody likes CM Punk. My former co-host is mad that CM Punk is in AEW. I look at it like this. Not everybody likes Karrion Kross. So, you know, I think if someone is happy that Karrion Kross is on Raw and WWE, we should be happy for him. You know, let the people that like AEW be happy. You know, because when people criticize us for the people that we like, you know, then when we get upset, we don't like it. You know, so I personally think no one has 100% approval rating, and not everybody likes CM Punk. I guarantee you tomorrow the rating is not going to be 2 million people. And if it's like a million 311, which maybe that's my prediction, 1,311,000, you will have people out there saying CM Punk only generated 350,000 more viewers. That is a joke. That's only 200,000 more than a couple of weeks ago. I don't pay attention to those people. If you like it, that's all that matters. But one of the things that a lot of you have been saying for the last couple of days that has really moved me, like just made me feel good, is DT, what separates what I do and what some others out there do, because I'm not the only one that says this. A lot of other great podcasters say similar things. But you have to understand that some podcasters are wrestling fans, but they're not business people. You know what I mean? Like, they're people that do podcasting for a living. That is their job. And if they're killing it and they're making money, God bless them. I love it. I love it. I have no angst against them. But when people try to be businessmen or try to act like they know it or try to think they know finance, you know, I've been in banking, insurance, and finance for 23 years. I have a portfolio with a lot of stocks and everything else. I've invested. I've been in corporate. That doesn't make me a master. But when you have a $1 billion publicly traded company, you don't make decisions because it's the right thing to do. Your investors will laugh you out of the building. That is not a popular thing to say on a show. If I tweet that, it gets 5 likes. If I tweet the opposite, it gets 500 likes. So for the last 3 months, Mish and I have been talking on these shows, telling you about the Nick Khan effect. I like Nick Khan very much because that guy knows how to run a business. Politically, you know, he may not be liked in that sense, and the people who are fired obviously don't like this guy. Totally understandable. But this is the thing people need to understand. When you see Buddy Murphy doing a video of him being in a jail, and I didn't really talk about it on these shows. I talked about it on Patreon a couple of weeks ago. But when you have Buddy Murphy trying to do one of these cinematic 2-minute videos on Twitter that he's in a jail and he's pacing back and forth and, you know, he's like flipping out and he can't wait to break out and this and that, you know, I look at that, and I like Buddy Murphy, and Buddy Murphy is freaking talented. And Buddy Murphy is definitely one that I would actually enjoy seeing on AEW. But the thing is, this guy knew who he was signing with years ago. He knew that it's been sports entertainment for 4 decades. He knew that it's the same regime that's been in there for decades. These people know who they are working for. They know that there are 150, 200 wrestlers there. They know that they are signing people to the Performance Center every couple of months. They know that if they do not get into good graces with WWE, they're probably going to get thrown to the curb. They know all of this, and they get paid comfortably. You're in jail, you get 50 cents for working 8 hours a day. You don't get $50,000. You get $2,000 a year if you're lucky. You know, you don't get $200,000. These guys and gals get paid a lot of money. They know very damn well who they're working for. When they get released, suddenly they act like they were being held back in prison. They say, give all the money back then. Give all the money back. You know, when the money keeps coming in, you know, don't say anything. And then you get classy people like Malachi Black, Aleister Black. People were begging him on Twitch or whatever it was to rip WWE Creative when he first got fired. And he said, no. He's like, guys, do not criticize them. They're doing the best they can. That is a guy that you want to do business with. That is a guy that understands the climate and the field that he works for. That's why I talked about when Dixie Carter used to be around, everybody, oh, Aunt Dixie, love Dixie, 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 Dixie. And then when they were gone, and then some people were given some harsh reality of how much she screwed up that company, you know, that was crushing for her. I felt bad for her. But to them, it's business. You're paying me. I am going to kiss your ass. If I think I could get an interview job or something, I am going to kiss your ass. I'm going to make you. That's what this is all about. Everybody understands this. So Nick Khan, this hit me the other day. And again, this is not clickbait. I have been saying for the last 2 months that NXT was not dead, that they were just going old school. They were going to be what they were before. They were going back to their roots. And here's something I'm going to add right now that I want you to all remember. And then think about everything we said for the last couple of months and then Nick Khan's interview with Ariel Helwani. Everything that we said was right. When you had these people consistently trying to make Triple H, like Triple H is like the CM Punk of management in WWE, that he is the voice of the voiceless, that they're shutting him out meetings, that he has lost power, that he hasn't been able to do this, that they have taken all of his power away, that they have ruined him, and he is a joke there. And that is 100% false. It's not true. When investors don't talk about that, that should tell you something. Triple H has a seat at the table. All the creative meetings, all the management meetings, he is sitting right there. He doesn't have a dunce hat in the corner playing with a coloring book. You know, can I say something? Please, I have an idea. Shut up. It's not true. It's a lie. But it just looks good and it sounds good, so everybody clicks on it. And eventually what happens is the same thing about Keith Lee. Remember all those clickbait thumbnails? Vince has nothing for Keith Lee. The real reason why he's off Elimination Chamber, they're going to fire Keith Lee. His match with Karrion Kross is his last. That Mia Yim gave him COVID. Everything they said was a lie. So what happened? The Triple H stuff is 2 months old already. Soon as the Keith Lee stuff came out, they needed to divert to something else to get everybody's mind off of Keith Lee and all the shit that they fed you that was wrong. So then they went back to Triple H. Now, Ariel Helwani interviews Nick Khan. And Nick Khan basically masters all the clickbaiters. Yeah, play on words. He called them all out as lying. It's a $1 billion publicly traded company. If Nick Khan was lying in that interview, just because of all the social media heat, that guy would get put into jail. All right? You do not lie and just make stuff. Triple H still has power. And they are doing what I said should have been done a year and a half ago and what Mish and I have been talked about for the last 3 months. They are bringing NXT back to its roots. WWE, everybody always brings up that infamous clash, Shelton Benjamin, Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Randy Orton. Next time you ever get an opportunity to talk to any of those guys or do an interview, ask them how much they were getting paid in OVW. Ask them how much they were getting paid. All of the stars that came up through the food chain, ask them how much they were getting paid in Heartland Wrestling Association, Florida Championship Wrestling. Ask them. They were getting paid next to nothing. The reason why Adam Cole should not be brought back to NXT is the same reason why Nick Khan fired 50 people in the corporate office and then fired another 20 more. Not playing Scrooge. This is not a wrestling version of National Lampoon's, whatever that was, Vacation or whatever, you know, the Christmas one. You know, he's not a Scrooge. The guy was brought into that company, and the guy said, why are we spending this much money? We're in 2021. Technology has changed. People can multitask. Why do we need 100 people in this department? We only need 30. Okay, do it. Let everybody go. Oh, that's horrible to do during COVID. Stock goes up. Why do we have all these people on the roster with COVID? Oh, that's the right thing to do. No, it's not. Release people. Stock goes up. Record profits. How could you fire people with record profits? Budget cuts. Budget cuts. That's what everybody ran to. That should have proved everyone out there that they didn't know what they were talking about. They think, a lot of people out there think that when you use the budget cuts excuse, they immediately think that there's financial problems, so we got to cut the budget. No, that's not it. WWE, let's say, is making a $100 million profit right now. Well, wait a minute. We made $100 million. We could have made $150 million if we didn't have 40 wrestlers sitting and catering. Sitting and catering might be a nice line to do in a promo. But when you have 20, 30, 40 people sitting and catering every week and you're paying them and they're not doing nothing, why do we have these people on the roster? Okay, let's put them on main event. Let's put them in a dark match on SmackDown. We got people like Austin Theory. I used him as an example the other day. Austin Theory, one of the future stars. They're not using him on any skits on TV other than the way stuff. Okay, we got to get him in the ring. We got to get him developed. He's got to work. All right. He works dark matches. Even if he loses them all, he's getting work. Nick Khan has been consolidating WWE. Not for a sale. Everybody thinks budget cuts means financial problems. No. You make $50 million, you want to make $60 million. Any of you out there, you got a job. You're making $20 an hour. Wouldn't you want to make $30 an hour? If your family has a small business, hey, everybody, hey, we could go to Florida. We could, well, not Florida right now. We could go away. We got some money. We could go on vacation. Oh, where could we go? Alaska. Oh, I'd like to go to Hawaii. No, we don't make that much yet. You're going to do what you can to make as much money as possible. It is a billion-dollar publicly traded company. It's not a feel-good, you know, company. And that's not a popular thing to say. I don't say it because I like it. I disagree with a lot of the releases. But for 3+ months, we've been using the phrase, the Nick Khan effect. So why did I make this thumbnail? Why did I make this thumbnail? Because Adam Cole, everybody said that Tony Khan offered him a deal. It was not true. Tony Khan says it's not true. People say, oh yeah, sure, Tony, sure. Then Adam Cole loses the match with Kyle O'Reilly the other day, and finish sucked, said it sucked. And it looks like he's done with NXT. And I came up here in the early, you know, title before I changed it because of the Daniel Bryan tease early from CM Punk, is Adam Cole should not be brought back to NXT. Now, anybody that's been following my shows for the last bunch of years, you're like, DT, that's insane. I've been saying it for a couple of years. Adam Cole is the MVP of NXT for at least the last 3 or 4 years. Why would I say Adam Cole should not be brought back? Why would I have Karrion Kross in this picture with an NXT logo? It has nothing to do with him wearing the oversized masks from Monday. And yes, you know, at the beginning of the show, I thought it looked cool. It reminded me of Demolition. Some people said Lord Humongous later on. But, you know, as we did the show, I think it was Elizabeth that called in. And I thought about it. I was like, she's right. I think the biggest problem with the mask on Monday with Cross is it looked like a little kid that went to buy a Halloween costume and all they had was the adult sizes left. So you put the little kid puts the adult size mask on and it looks like it's way too big. That mask should have been much smaller. Whether he should have had a mask or suspenders in the first place is good for tomorrow. We'll discuss that tomorrow. But why did I put Karrion Kross in his banner too? Because of this. Since you know Nick Khan is bringing NXT back to its roots, back to the days that gave us Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, that gave us Asuka with a crazy undefeated streak. A lot of people forget that NXT during those days might get 100,000 viewers a week. NXT was not on the radar. You need, how many of you that have been a wrestling fan since the 2000s, how many of you saw Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Randy Orton, Leviathan, Batista, and others every single week on TV as they were coming up before they made it to the main roster? No. We might see a little clip here and there, but we would only hear about it. The up-and-coming wrestlers need an OVW. They need a Heartland. They need a Florida Championship Wrestling. They need a developmental where they can hone their skills and not have this extreme pressure that when, because they're not ready or even emotionally not ready, and they botch and it's all over Twitter, you know, laughing at them. So Nick Khan is bringing NXT back to its roots, and he's paying NXT like a developmental. As much as I loved Karrion Kross in NXT, as much as I loved Adam Cole in NXT, if you're going to bring it back to its roots and make NXT a true developmental territory, you have to pay it like a developmental territory. Minor league players trying to make it to the major leagues do not ink crazy-ass deals. The only time they do is when they're this close to being to the major leagues and they're just there for a cup of coffee. When you hear over the years, this wrestler wants to stay in NXT, doesn't want to go to the main roster, doesn't want to tour with Raw or SmackDown, doesn't want the pressure of WWE. Well, if you're going to be in the developmental company, you get paid like a developmental wrestler. If you are a has-been, never was, that still think that you could do something, or maybe a has-been, but you still think you have it in a tank, well, guess what? You have to swallow some humble pie and work for NXT developmental for chump change. Adam Cole is too good to be in developmental. And if Adam Cole wants to stay in WWE and wants to get the payday, they need to use him on the main roster. Karrion Kross, if they want to keep him, you think he's making $35,000 a year? No. You think Adam Cole is making $80,000 a year? No. So you're going to have a developmental program with mostly inexperienced stars, and you're going to pay someone that is going to equal 50 times the pay of 50 other developmental people combined. That's why if you're going to make it a developmental again, you have to pay everybody accordingly. And that is why I believe if Adam Cole stays with WWE, they are making a tremendous... Now, again, this is me that said Adam Cole is the MVP of NXT, and I loved his stuff. But if it's going to be developmental, you have to treat it like that. You have to pay it like that. It's not budget cuts because of financial problems. Nick Khan came in there and realized we don't need 200 wrestlers. We could do what we're doing with 100. Now, the results are a lot of, you know, look at the Mysterios and the Usos. One week it's Ray versus Jay. I rhymed. Ray versus Jay. Then it's Dom versus Jimmy. Then it's Dom versus Jay. And then it's Ray versus Jimmy. And then you got 4 weeks went by, and wow, we only used 4 people during those segments. They, yes, having repeat matches, and trust me, it was a little fresh this week on Raw to see different matches. Trust me, a couple of weeks from now, you will definitely have seen some of those matches more than once. So now last night, we had NXT, and you look at the card, Ridge Holland over Timothy Thatcher. Timothy Thatcher is not breaking the bank in NXT. If Timothy Thatcher's contract comes up and they want him to be a focal point and possibly champion, Timothy Thatcher may get a little bit of a raise, but he's not going to get paid Adam Cole money. Samoa Joe, he came back to NXT. Samoa Joe, he'll never reveal how much he's being paid. And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know how much exactly he's being paid. But I will tell you that he's being paid less than he thought that he should have been paid because the interest just was not out there. Samoa Joe, I loved his commentary work, but he has a few years left wrestling, so he wants to enjoy those few years. Once he cannot go in the ring anymore, then he will be in the commentator's booth. But he's not going to get paid. Now you understand why it is so ridiculous, and this is not sexist, but now you realize why it was so ridiculous when the Young Bucks said that their goal is to that everybody gets health care in AEW, which doesn't make sense because if you're not an employee for the company, an insurance company wouldn't even write those people. They're not employees of your company. They have to be an employee of your company. They're still independent contractors. The second thing is then when there was all this talk that everybody's going to have an even pay scale. How do you get an even pay scale when you can't even get work on TV? If you want to base it like that, Andrade, Ídolo, probably makes less than what I get on a Super Chat. Why would he get paid elite money? He's only wrestled once in 10 weeks. You start breaking this down and you understand that people rather read the cutesy tweets that sound good, that feel good, but at the end of the day, it's a business. They're all business. So Nick Khan saying that NXT is going to be revamped, new look, sure. NXT, up until a couple of weeks ago, looked different than NXT from 5 years ago. NXT 5 years ago looked different than when Florida Championship Wrestling turned into NXT. They want to go back to their roots. And everybody and their mother convinced you that the NXT was dead. It was going to be renamed. That Triple H lost power in 2020. That all this stuff. And none of it was true. So now, because I don't think anybody out there truly thought that Nick Khan was going to do this interview with Ariel Helwani. Seriously. Nick Khan doesn't do interviews. See, when you put Triple H out there as a victim, people know that Triple H is not going to go on social media and say, you're a liar. That's not true. When they claim about somebody with Vince, and say, you think Vince is going to do a video? You know, a liar. So I think they never in a million years ever envisioned that Nick Khan would do an interview and throw in the garbage everything they claimed. So do you notice how almost nobody is clarifying and correcting all the stuff that Nick Khan put that out there? This guy is one of the biggest important people for a $1 billion company. He makes some very important points, and nobody brings it up. They just do interview recap. Nick Khan interview about it. No, there was some major news put in there. So you know what they all did? Let's focus on that. That's what they focus on. Or we'll focus on CM Punk. That's what it is. They went from Keith Lee to Triple H. Well, they did Triple H to Keith Lee, back to Triple H, to Keith Lee again, and then to Triple H, and then Nick Khan comes out there and totally ruins, you ruined everything. And now they, sooner or later, they reveal themselves. It's clickbait. I'm not going to lie, I'm tempted sometimes, but I try to attract people with facts, and it's not popular. It's not popular. But see this picture? First of all, congrats to Carmelo Hayes winning the breakout tournament. Hey. I should have said, oh, because that was funny earlier. You know, at the beginning of the match with Matt Hardy and Orange Cassidy, Orange Cassidy is doing the kicks and everybody's going, oh, and Matt Hardy, delete. Oh, delete. Orange Cassidy goes to put his hands in his pocket. I wanted to bring money in here. I have an insurance customer's payment, and so I got a deposit tomorrow. I was going to put it in my pockets and whip it out. But when Matt Hardy whipped out all the cash, that was funny. But, you know, NXT yesterday, go to prowrestling.net. Yeah, I haven't talked about Jason Powell in a long time. Go to his website. Go to wrestlingnews.co, I think it is. Look at all their recaps for NXT yesterday. You know what they said? I didn't see much different with NXT. They announced a wedding in the middle of September. Does it feel like NXT has changed? No. They just got rid of the bloat. They got rid of the bloat. Not saying that those guys didn't deserve the money, but they got rid of the bloat. They're focusing on some of the young stars of tomorrow and the wrestlers who aren't getting paid crazy money. How much are we paying this guy? And we have him in NXT in front of 200 people with 500,000 viewers? Uh-uh. Put him on the main roster or release him. I don't know if any of those NXT releases lately were had anything to do with that. But Carmelo Hayes wins the breakout tournament. He was my pick from the beginning. I said it's going to come down to Carmelo Hayes and Odyssey Jones, and I think Odyssey Jones is main roster bound. I think by the Royal Rumble, Odyssey Jones may be on the main roster. I mean, they nailed it. And Carmelo Hayes, he's got something. He's got something. Keep him on your radar. Barring serious injury or complete fuck-up or WWE just totally misusing this guy, this guy is going to be a big player sooner than later. Sooner than later. What else do we have yesterday? Rich Holland over Timothy Thatcher. Ciampa and Thatcher are there to help legitimize some of the names that they're building up. Pete Dunne, I said it on Sunday. I wanted Pete Dunne to be the first opponent for Samoa Joe, and that may happen. Pete Dunne, you know, people are starting to figure out that his contract is coming up soon. Pete Dunne may end up being what Adam Cole was the last couple of years, and I know what some people are going to say. He's not no MVP. It's developmental territory. You can't look at it like that anymore. If you see, look, if Brock Anderson would have faced Malakai Black tonight for Heartland Wrestling Association or OVW, I would have been like, oh, cool. But not AEW's number one prime show, prime roster. You wanted to do that a month and a half ago to be nice, you know, Brock Anderson, the son of Arn Anderson, oh, wrestler of the week. Seriously, if that was me, I don't know how Brock Anderson is in real life, but I know if that was me and I have that few matches under my belt and I stunk up the joint and knew it, and then I look all over social media and AEW says wrestler of the week, Brock Anderson, I'd look in the mirror and I'd say to myself, I didn't deserve that. That's embarrassing. I don't know. So, Ridge Holland beating Timothy Thatcher yesterday. I liked it. Casey Catanzaro and Kaden Carter beating Gigi Dolan and JC Jane. A little surprised that Gigi and JC are getting losses again this quick. But Gigi Dolan, if you remember, I said she gives me Paige vibes when she first came in. Telling you, she's going to get that certain niche, and I'm not talking about anything perverted or adult, so don't go there. And I will say this. I should have said this earlier. We're going to wrap this up any second. Going forward, since NXT really is going back to its roots as a developmental, there is really no reason to spend much time on it. If you have specific questions, you could always ask them Thursday, which is only 2 days after NXT airs, and I'll be more than happy to answer them. But just like AEW Dark, we're not going to sit here and do recaps for Dark. That's the developmental system. So NXT right now, they're going to gradually chop it down because they don't want suddenly everybody to just pick up and walk away. They want people still to tune in, but they want those wrestlers to not have the pressure that has been forcefully put on them over the last 2 years, undeservingly. Hueco Mundo, King of Hueco Mundo, wasn't the original NXT rated 7 for kids? Oh, no, no, no. I remember they were going to do some show that was going to be directed to kids, but no, I don't think the original NXT was ever that, no. Carmelo Hayes winning the breakout tournament was good. I'll say this. Zion Quinn over Boa. Man, I got bad vibes for Boa, man. They did those incredible vignettes, almost insinuating torture for Zia Lee and Boa. And this guy has shown nothing in the last month and a half or so. And look, he's not bad in the ring, but you really do have to pay attention to some of the win losses that go down. Forget that 50-50 booking stuff. Yeah, they do 50-50 booking. I think Gigi Dolan is now a good example of that. But you get a certain vibe about some people. And when you get that vibe that it just seems like WWE is not giving any like momentum for someone. And yes, you could still have momentum and have 50-50 booking. LA Knight is another example of that. But Boa, man, this whole thing with this T and Shaw. I know Zia Lee cannot compete right now, but man, that is possibly in my top five biggest disappointments of 2021. The whole Zia Lee, T and Shaw stuff. It's just the Mei Yang thing. If you remember, we laughed at it from day one because it looked like Star Trek goofy stuff with the vaping. Remember when she was first doing that? I'm like, that's like when 1967, when Mr. Spock would just go up to somebody and be like, hey, how you doing? Like, blows vape in somebody's face. First of all, it doesn't even look like a good visual when you're still in COVID, first of all. You know, but to blow vape, I mean, it's like that old, what were those mints from the 90s? Anybody remember those mint commercials from the 90s? Arctic Ice, was that it? Where they'd have all these like sexy people on the TV and then they would just blow on it and the whole screen would turn to ice. That's what it looks like. It's goofy. It's corny. And I'm telling you, Boa, I'm not getting good vibes right now. I'd be a little concerned if I was Boa, seriously. Legado del Fantasma against Hit Row. You know, Miz said something yesterday on Patreon that I will repeat here. I don't know how many of you feel about this. I know a lot of people on social media would never dare say this. Not trying to be controversial. But he said, you know, the clash of culture, like Wade Barrett said yesterday, you know, if you really read between the lines, a clash of culture, is it Lucha Libre and the Mexican custom versus hip-hop, or is it Latino versus black? You decide for yourself. Me, I like the addition of Velez. Was it Katrina Velez? I don't remember her name. I don't have it written down either, but I like where they're going with that. You know, it's a nice little feud. Now we have a female added to Legado del Fantasma, which means we're going to see, you know, Mrs. Hit Row hit the ring. You know, we'll see where that goes. You know, but, you know, and we had, obviously, the LA Knight, Cameron Grimes stuff, LA Knight with a little interaction with Samoa Joe to tease and stuff. I'm still sticking with what I said. I think very, very soon I expect Cameron Grimes to give the $1 million championship back to Ted DiBiase, especially if he's going to be feuding against other people. It does not make sense to have someone else hold that $1 million championship. The whole storyline was about two rich guys, Cameron Grimes and LA Knight. The storyline was about two rich white guys. So you have someone else fight Cameron Grimes for the $1 million championship. It doesn't really click when you think about it. It fizzles out quickly. So I expect something especially with Cameron Grimes now being a babyface. I expect them to cut a promo sooner or later. Ted, I realize there's only $1 million champion, and that's you. And he gives the belt back. I think that's what happens. So, anyway. Yeah, I look, Benjamin, replica title, no replica title, $1 million belt off television. It's not a recognized title. That storyline will go away. So I don't know how you feel about that with Legato and Hit Row, you know, because obviously in this climate and a lot of tension that we live in, you know, that might ruffle some feathers. But when you look at that feud and Wade Barrett talking about a clash in culture, is it, you know, more about the lifestyle, the culture, hip-hop, or is it really race? Now, The Art of Wrestling, yes, that was a very good podcast. The Art of Wrestling is, you don't have to say which one it is, but it plays out on TV and it could go either way and people get invested in it. So, as long as we don't get any dumb jokes, any spoofs, you know, mocking, I mean, you know, sure, Legato could still go out there and do more mocking with the hip-hop stuff, but, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that they're trashing hip-hop. So, anyway, I'm going to jet out of here. I want to thank you for tuning in. It was great. Had a great time tonight. Good luck to everybody who participated. After the show's over, post your comments. You know, I'm most curious, out of everything tonight, I think some of what we talked about between Brock Anderson and Red Velvet and, you know, some of the other things is pretty common sense. But I think I'm going to be most intrigued of what you think about what I've been saying the last couple of weeks, that Dan Lambert is doing Jim Cornette. Because that was very interesting tonight, the stuff that he said. I liked it. You know, but again, you know, AEW is not this innocent, you know, altar boy, you know, aura outside in the back. You know, they're just using the show to be able to do these things. And they could hide behind, oh, we're just characters. Just like Max Caster was a character. Very poor taste what he said. And yes, he definitely should have been reprimanded for it. But again, no one in that company, and 99% of fans who attended live did not care. They weren't mad enough. Nobody spoke out. Nobody stepped forward. Nobody took it down. The editors that edited that show, they didn't get... You think Tony Khan is editing Dark this week and everything? No. No. He's basically told the people that are involved, you better double and triple check every fucking thing. And if anything could possibly be considered controversial or could get, bring it to my desk. I don't care if I'm taking a dump, bring it to my desk. That's what happened. And that's what should have happened. So if you're around tomorrow night, join me. I will be here at 10:05 for Q&A and whatever else we want to do. Be taking calls all throughout the night. So if there's anything really on your mind over the last week in wrestling, you know, my God, look what's happened in wrestling in the last week, 9 days. It's amazing. It's amazing. We still have SmackDown now, and we got to see what happens with Becky Lynch and Bianca. Maybe we'll hear an update with Sasha. Obviously, Pat McAfee won't be on. We're glad that he's feeling better. But the hits just keep on coming. We got more coming. And Friday, we will do another live watch along of Rampage, but something tells me we may not need to do it in September. I don't think you could see this starting to pull back a little bit because the match is announced for Friday. What did they announce for Friday? I have it here. They announced for Friday Ty Conti versus the Bunny, Jurassic Express versus the Lucha Bros. The winner will face the Young Bucks at All Out. and Kenny Omega and Brandon Cutler versus Christian Cage and Frankie Kazarian. I mean, number one, you could see where that Cutler is taking the pin. I mean, you could see that a mile away. It's just, it's more of a novelty match. I personally don't, I think there's going to be a significant drop in numbers. And do you start putting CM Punk on every episode, even to cut a promo? No. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see how much it drops. But tonight's rating, I am very curious. And that random number I put out earlier, what was it, 1,311,000 or 1,318,000? I'm very curious to see what number that brings in. But as long as they do like 1,000,001, I would say that that is a success. Anybody that tries to sell you tomorrow that, oh, it's a joke, CM Punk hardly moved the number, those are not wrestling fans. Well, they're wrestling fans, but they just don't want to see good things happen. A lot of people don't want to see good things happen to a lot of people, unless it's themselves. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Much love. And post your comments. Smash that like button. And we'll announce the winner. I'll announce it on Twitter. I'll announce it in the community section tomorrow. And I'll announce it on tomorrow's Q&A and Friday's show. So, you know, we'll find out who wins. So, good luck, everybody. Be well. I'll catch you tomorrow. Ciao.